Welcome to 51 First Dates.
I'm Liza.
And I'm Kimmy.
And we are doing an experiment.
And talking about dating.
And love. Maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe.
Cheers.
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 Hi, everybody. I'm Liza.
And I'm Kimmy.
And this is 51 First Dates.
This is our podcast about dating and love and stuff.
Etc. And we're joined. I feel like you should introduce our guests.
I feel like it's very important that I introduce our guests. So if you're just joining us, you might not know this, but if you're not, welcome back. And Liza, oh my god, I'm doing a terrible job. You might know this or not know this, but Liza has a very special man in her life, and she has since the beginning of this experiment where she helped me get back out there, meet the men's, go on the dates, and that special man is her partner. Ooh, that sounded so hip. Her partner, her boyfriend, Jeff.
Yes.
Yeah. I say boyfriend.
I was like writing
I'm the partner, yes. it is a word that people, I've used it before.
Have you?
Yeah.
I tend to use it around adults. Not like,
yeah.
That's like, I tend to use it around like people I encounter in jobs.
Yeah, same. At work.
Where I'm like, I don't want to be like, my boyfriend. You know?
Yeah, why?
Yeah, it makes it seem more serious.
And the word boyfriend, girlfriend just sounds like, oh, we're boyfriend, girlfriend. It sounds very, like, well, young.
Exactly. Especially if I need to get out of something. Like, I can't come to this because my partner is something or other. It's kind of more legit.
It's funny that we, because I don't think we've ever talked about this, but I do the exact same thing. Where I'm like, I have to go to my partner's for Rosh Hashanah or whatever it is.
Rosh Hashanah, my partner.
Well, I do it a lot for Jewish holidays because everyone knows I'm not Jewish because of my last name.
Mm-hmm.
So to be like, to legitimize me not going places on Jewish holidays, I gotta drop the P word.
Yeah.
The P word. I like it. Well, yeah. I think I was just writing for my little side gig job, like wedding articles where I have to be really careful to say partner. So that was really weird, but I'm glad we had this conversation. So to get out of things, say partner.
Hot tips. But yeah, thanks for being here, Jeff.
Sure thing.
Yes, thank you, Jeff. I know, like, you know, this has been a part of your life for longer than you probably liked.
It's been great. Wow.
let's start with some hard-hitting questions. Jeff, your real honest opinion, what are your thoughts and feelings on what the fuck Liza and I have been up to the past year? It's going on a year, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, guys, this is our 50th episode.
Is this the second to last episode?
No, but maybe we should explain to any new listeners why we're talking so randomly about dating, not about a particular date of 51.
That's a great idea. So we were doing an experiment. I'm going to give just the quick bullet points. We were doing an experiment. Kimmy was going to go on 51 first dates, but she met a really great guy at date 13, and she wasn't totally sure. She wasn't totally, like, in it all the way. So she kept going on dates. She went on 32 first dates, and then she was like, oh, wait, date 13 is a gem. I'm going to lock it down, and we're going to morph this podcast into, like, a general dating experiment. We're currently in the process of recruiting new daters who we're going to debut in mid-September.
Oh.
So come back. Yeah, are you interested in
new daters?
Yeah,
you're going to be one of them. Am I interested? Yeah, no. Totally. I'm definitely interested.
So yeah, that's where we're at. If this is the first episode you're listening to, it might be great to go back and start from the beginning, but also it might be great to stick around with us and just hear all the shit we have to say.
And yeah, this is the first time Jeff, Liza's partner, has ever been on the pod, so this is a really special day. I'm glad it's for number 50. Feels right.
Totally.
Totally. Yeah. Even though I feel like number 51 should be our, like, celebratory episode because of the title of the podcast, i.e. like when we were doing that giveaway and we were giving away $50 to, like, we were doing a giveaway for people to go on a date, and one of our lovely sound guys, Manny, was like, why don't you make it $51? I was like, we were just like, oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
We should start that contest again, because yes, everyone wants $51, including us.
I would love
it. I would take $51.
Yeah, unsurprising. So yeah, today we're going to chat. Okay. We're going to do a little bit of like a mixed bag episode today. We're going to chat with Jeff, and then we're going to do like a female bag part 3, which is, you know, just a male bag, but it's a play on words, and read a roundup of first date stories and, a couple other just listener emails that are pertinent to topics we've been talking about recently.
Yeah. But like, you know, we don't always get, you know, men's on this podcast. So I'm going to bring it back to Jeff. What are your thoughts and feelings on this or dating?
Or just dating in general.
Dating in general. Like, what are your friends up to? Yeah. Like, I think, like, what are your takes on it?
Wow. So, I mean, a lot of my friends are in relationships at this point. Mm-hmm. I'd say, like, 3 or 4 years ago, that wasn't as true. So I don't really, like, talk to as many men anymore that are, like, actively dating. And it's kind of nice, actually, being on the other side of that, I don't know. You see, it can be very stressful. It can be fun too, but it's like kind of an always on like activity. You're constantly like setting up your next date and, you know, getting ready to meet a total stranger, which is already kind of like, you know, a thing. So yeah.
And like having to take physical care of yourself.
Yeah, totally. Putting on like actual clothes and like having stuff to say to somebody. All that stuff, you know?
Struggle. Jeff, you totally missed the apps, right? You and Liza both never were on apps.
No, you were on apps.
Okay, yeah. So I was on apps. I was on OkCupid very briefly back in 2013, maybe, when I was living in Ithaca, New York. And
Sorry. Yeah. What was that like in Ithaca? It's gorgeous. Well,
it is gorgeous. And I mean, you know, I was looking for a lady friend, and
Don't say lady friend. Oh God, that's vile. That's like what a 70-year-old man with like a satin tie and a bar. I was looking for a
female companion. Jesus Christ, no. Someone to take me bowling.
No.
And then take me shopping. No, so I mean, it was sort of weird, you know. I did not like it overall. That would be kind of like my headline thing. Was like, it was not my cup of tea. Because like I would get very like deep into like someone's whole backstory before I'd even met them, and like build up all this stuff in my head, and like we'd be writing messages back and forth to each other, and then the conversation would just end. And that was always kind of a bummer. That happened a bunch of times. I met, you know, I went on a few dates and nothing that really was that clicked.
And like, it was a small dating pool.
Yeah, it was not a big town.
In Ithaca. Because it's like a big college town. But like, I think, such hope, you weren't dating college students.
I mean,
you were only like 24. So it wouldn't have been that.
A little older. Yeah, whatever. 26. But some.
Oh, yeah, okay. Close. I know what year it is.
Yeah, my brother had that issue in Richmond where he was like a lot of like the college. It was a lot of like it was just a different dating scene than New York. And like the people would still be in college and you'd have to just like, and he was like young 20s. So you had to just think about that.
Exactly. And like, so the people I was meeting were like maybe doctoral students or like just random people living in Ithaca. Like I didn't go on any dates with college students. But it was a weird place in some ways. Like it seemed like a lot of people in Ithaca had moved there with like their spouse and children. So either you were in college and like in the Cornell or Ithaca college scene, or you were kind of like, you kind of had a family. It was not a great dating scene.
It doesn't sound like
And it was honestly one of the reasons I left Ithaca. Like, you know, it just wasn't a place that I felt like I could be for a long time. Because, yeah, it just didn't seem like a place for someone in their mid-20s.
Yeah, I feel like I've heard this also from other friends, like a friend who lived in Burlington, Vermont, which is also, like, a great city. Really cute, really fun. Like, I went to visit him there. And, like, it's lovely, but it's small. And he was basically just like, yeah, everyone. And he's a man who dates men. So he was like, okay, the dating pool is small. Like, the gay dating pool is tiny. Like he was basically like, I've gone on dates with everyone who I've seen on any of the dating apps already. Like that's it. There's, you know, that's what exists.
And wait, I love that Jeff moved to like the best place ever for a straight single male, New York, and then Your friend moved to West Hollywood, which is a great place for men dating men. So
yes,
both of them were strategic.
It's really true.
Straight women can move to Menver. Like, but it's true. Like, it's a part of
New York not a good place for women to date?
Well, that's like the whole question of this podcast.
No, it is not a question. Liza, Jeff.
No, I mean, it's not.
It is like, it is statistically terrible.
Is it though? I have no idea. Wait, what are the statistics again? What is it like?
Just like the
male to female ratio?
I don't know what they are exactly, but like we are at a huge disadvantage just quantity wise. If you're a straight woman looking to date a straight man.
Yeah.
So even if it's like a couple percentage points difference, that still will, you'll feel that.
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
And just my like, you know, not quantitative, qualitative data from the dudes I've dated in New York. So many of them moved out of New York and then were ready to settle down or like got there. Like, I think a lot of the thing where like sometimes, again, this is a stereotype, but it has been researched a bit, like, you know, that certain men sometimes want to like get to a certain point in their life before they feel ready to fully settle down. And again, this is lumping it in because like, Jeff, I know you, I feel like this doesn't apply to you, but certain men and certain men who maybe got used to some of the like, I can get what I want in New York, I don't want to settle down, I want to get this much in a salary before settling down, or like that happens a lot. That doesn't happen a lot in New York. People are always going and not ready to settle down. So I think that's part of it too. I'm not saying it can't happen. I have friends who have met, but my friends in relationships also are in relationships where it's like, why the F aren't you engaged yet? Any other city you would already be engaged. You've been dating for like, you guys not included. Sorry, that's awkward.
Jesus, Kimmy.
Jesus, Kimmy. I'm thinking of
what
like,
are you, my mother? No,
you knew each other from before, though. Like that, I'm thinking of people who purely met within like New York City life. It's like a delayed timeline, but that's just again, that is not scientific. That is Dr. Kimmy's scientific.
No, well, I think there is a lot to the fact of like it's hard not to overeat at a buffet. Right? It's like...
Yeah, totally.
Just putting it in terms Jeff can understand. No. Like,
there's... I do love a good buffet.
So, like, there's, you know, all of these straight single men, whatever, coming to New York, and it's, like, a city filled with, like, beautiful, intelligent, like, badass, like, cool women. And it's... And, you know, who generally, like, are open to kind of, like, dating, hooking up, like they're not, you know, often in our early 20s, like not looking for something serious in the way that people in their early 20s might be outside of New York. But I think there comes a shift where like there's a point where you have to leave the buffet, I think, or you're gonna die.
You might eat too much General Tso's chicken.
You might.
Why is this a Chinese buffet?
Well, I feel like at any buffet, there's always General Tso's chicken.
That's true.
You know what I mean?
There's that's just some, that's some qualitative data that Jeff's dropping.
Dr.
Right
Jeff,
there.
Yeah.
Though I haven't done the dating here. You kind of reminded me of this, Jeff, when you said you'd see people from like the college scene. Because it's funny, people who are saying, obviously, I haven't done the dating here in LA. But some friends are like on the apps and seeing like people from our class and like they're liking each other, but it's weird because we're all in like school together and like a 350 person program. So that's interesting. But I would say just based on, I think LA, and I know I haven't done it, I've gone on only one date here ever, and that was date number 5 of the podcast. And he was lovely. I think it might be even harder than New York here only because it seems like being in different neighborhoods is even more of a struggle here.
Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah, it's hard to get. It's like that extra step harder to get out when you're like, oh, it's this long in traffic and this person's not in my neighborhood and it's not, you know. Like,
I mean, and I could be stereotyping, but I don't think people in LA are known for their persistence, you know. It's like, oh, never mind.
Oh, like I could go on a date or I could just like hit the waves, bro. Exactly. Like, is that what you're saying?
It just maybe it's the people I know from LA.
No. I think you're dead on. But though I do keep telling, ooh, my voice cracked. I'm a teenage boy. I do keep telling like the girls in my MBA program, first of all, like, our 35% women class, it's a great place to meet men. You know, a lot of them are in relationships now, but I'm sure in a year they won't be. But so I don't know. Not that you should ever go to business school just to meet a man, but I'm like, damn, this is like a pool of eligibles. Or soon.
No, that was a great advertisement to not go to business school to meet a man.
I know. Of
a and lot like of eligibles.
Great way to make day 13 even more nervous. No, not.
No,
I mean,
he's too much of a gem. I think that I mean, I think there's a big thing about, like, it's easier to meet people in communities, whether it's, like, school, work, your fucking sports team
that's how we met.
Like, yeah, in an acting class. I just think it's hard. It can be hard when you're just doing app dating.
Yeah.
Because app dating, it seems like, I obviously haven't done it, but just from, like, experiences with, like, you and this podcast and everyone else, like, it feels like app dating is its own beast. And, like, it's very different from, like, I have told a story on the podcast probably, but, like, I'll tell it again that, like, Jeff and I went to college together and I had, like, a light crush on him in college, even though I really didn't know him well. I just, like, thought he was cute and nice. And like, when he, you know, reached out to me, like, many years later when he moved to New York, when I hadn't talked to him, I was like, oh, I always liked this person. I always thought he was, like, kind of a cutie. Like, I'll hang out with him. And it was, but, like, that was already done. Like, that was already established from me knowing him for 3 years, even though I didn't know him well at all. Like, so much of that work was done.
Yeah, it's true.
And it's because we met in a community of some kind, you know, it's just easier. Yeah.
Which is where I can see people doing app dating. Sorry to bring it back to something Jeff said, which I've said a million times before, but I'm going to say it because I think the key to app dating is to not get too invested or, like, talkative with each other before you get on the date.
Yeah.
But I can see the impulse to want to, because you want that thing where it's like, oh, we like this. There's something there already. And that's why I'm going to spend a night with you.
Right. Well, like, and in my mind, it was, like, so much effort and, like, nervousness to, like, go, like, meet them in person. I think what I wanted was, like, some sense that it was going to be a good date in advance, which who knows if that's even realistic, but that's kind of think
how no, I'm thinking about it. I think that's really realistic for even, like, dating where you, before apps, when you'd meet someone at a bar. Because you, like, even if in person it was totally different in, like, the light of the evening that's not 2 a.m. like, or whatever, it would still be like, oh, we had something, I was, like, semi-excited, I said yes to this, you know, whereas an app can feel super random and based on algorithms. But that's why I think you attack app dating with something like an experiment, and you get really just like, I'm gonna do it, and you just go on the date early, and then, you know how to get out of it if it's really terrible. But I don't know.
Totally.
I'm tooting totally our own horn right now, but I'm just kind of like, maybe that's the key, is to treat app dating like a totally different kind of dating. Like, fucking.
Yeah. I mean, that's definitely, the problem is, like, it's easy when you've got, that's the right attitude. I mean, I think, like, some people, and this is not a judgment, but are so desperate to meet somebody because, like, you know, who doesn't want a romantic relationship? So it can be hard to see it, like, in a more, like, dispassionate way. It's so easy for it to take on, like, all the significance and all the stress and anxiety and stuff, at least in my
you're right.
And we had talked about, we had someone a couple weeks ago who is a life coach who was talking about how, you know, it's basically so easy to take any kind of rejection in dating land as, like, a confirmation of your worst fears about yourself.
Yeah.
And so I think it can also be hard to go into dating and not be like, oh, cool, this has proven my bad feelings about myself, which obviously, spoiler, it's untrue. Like, that, no one else can really do that for you. But yeah, I mean, it is, I think it's really hard to, like, disassociate, but I think it is, like, helpful to see app dating as, like, somewhat of a fun thing like, I get to meet someone who I have no idea, they're unique and they're their own kind of unicorn, even if we don't hit it off, they have, like, a whole set of experiences. Like, I get to spend an hour with someone who I have nothing about, you know.
Totally. Yeah. And I mean, I think that's exactly the right way to try to approach it. And one of my friends who used to do a lot of app-based dating, you know, it's sort of, at the time I was like, wow, you are an asshole. But then I realized, wait, actually this makes a ton of sense. So he would be like, he'd set something up that was very like, we're going to have a drink and it's going to be like, whatever, however he would set up the date would be like very easy to get out of it very quickly.
For him
or for her. I mean, basically, you know, in other words, not dinner, not whatever, just like, and at a super casual place. Because he was going on a lot of these dates, you know, and that way it was very, like, low stress. It was just like, hey, let's catch up. Let's grab a drink, blah, blah, blah. Keeping it, like, super, super casual.
Yeah.
I would say that's the move. Like, totally. For anyone, for people who don't feel like they need to pay for someone's dinner when they're a stranger, not that anyone has to pay for anyone, blah, blah, blah. That's another conversation. But, or for people who don't want to invest their night. Like, I wish, we've talked about it. We wish there was an app where, like, there was, like, a time check-in where you each secretly, like, went to the bathroom and said, I want to keep staying here or not. And then you just, like, learned. And then you just both, like, exited. Like, it's
and
a little
then you
bit.
Got a push notification that says, fuck you, leave.
Yeah, you got a push notification that was, like, it might be. You might not be on the same page or whatever. Like, I don't know. Or maybe it would only alert you if you both weren't on the same page and then you could, like, laugh with each other and say peace out. I don't know.
Well, you just
gotta
have the, like, the Larry David school of social interaction, which is like, okay, I think we're done. Like, I think this has been good.
And I don't think you
need
to have that school.
We're gonna leave now.
This is a fundamental disagreement of Jeff and my entire relationship is like, is it okay to just be like, great, bye.
I'm done.
And I'm because we're humans and you have to be polite. And he's like, it is polite.
I mean, I think it can be. Obviously, I'm being a little silly, but like it can be polite. Or not polite. It can be...
Kinder to
just be like, look, like, let's not... Like, whatever. Like, this isn't, you know... I think we're good. Let's go.
Well, honestly, especially later into dating, when people... We get so many messages and posts in the secret Facebook group, which you all should join, about like... ghosting or semi-ghosting or what is ghosting or just feelings being hurt. Like sometimes when you don't just like try to articulate it in some sort of polite way, it's really confusing and more rude.
That's exactly what I'm talking about. It's like people like usually the alternative is to just say nothing and not respond or to be like, to pretend you're interested. And then the other person goes home thinking like, wow, what a great date. And you were pretending the whole time. And then they're confused as to why you never follow up as opposed to just saying like, I mean, I don't know. This is very speculative because I've only seen this done in television and film. But I think, you know, you could say basically like, hey, this didn't work. I don't know.
You would never say that in person.
I wouldn't say
that.
I might say it in a text or a message or something. I probably couldn't say it in person.
I feel like you would do that. Yeah. I mean, literally, like, I've talked about this plenty on the podcast, but Jeff is, like, the person who taught me that, like, you should just say what you're feeling because it's easier.
It can be. Yeah.
It was a grimy job for him. He really had to take a nice pick and just chisel those feelings out of me. But,
Jeff, I have a question. So early on and going back to the time in this dating experiment where I was like really valuing myself on if I got asked on a second date, no matter how I felt about the date. But I got a couple like times where guys would be like, I had such a nice night or like text it that night. And that was like the kiss of death. That was like, nope. It became this pattern where when people would say something like that or lean in for the first kiss, like sometimes...
That was a lie. Yeah. They were like feeling guilty about not thinking that it was a connection. And so instead of just saying that, they said the opposite.
Yeah.
I do understand where that comes from. But that's really frustrating.
I feel like, would you do that, do you think? Or would you just not say anything or be like, that was fun?
Probably at some point in my life I would have done that. Mm-hmm. But, now it's all hypothetical because I have my partner sitting right beside me.
Yes, I'm sorry. Hypothetical.
But, I would try not to do that for sure. I mean, I don't think that's a great way, like, to, you know. I mean, it's basically a lie. Like,
yeah. And, like, it's okay to say it at the end of the night, but sometimes when, like, the text at the end of the night. But then again, the time that happened the most aggressively, I got a text, like, a month ago from date number 4 or whatever it was, being like, I was in a weird place. Did you ever go to business school? So shit is weird. Anywho.
Well, that's the thing, too, is, like, it's that whole thing, and I'm going to misquote something that's honestly probably just an Instagram quote to begin with, but it's, like, or
need
it's,
to change,
like...
You know? Totally.
Honestly, it might be like a Gandhi quote in real life or something. I don't know. Like, listeners, if any of you like know what quote I'm kind of talking about, like email us or, you know, join the secret Facebook group and correct me. But it's that thing of like, you know, everyone's fighting a battle you don't know anything about. And I think that's a factor too of like you meet someone for an hour and a half or whatever that you have no idea what's happening in their life. And like, Kimmy, you faced this so much in early dates where you were like, I don't want to tell people I just lost my mom because I don't want to talk about it to them.
Yeah.
But like, also it feels weird to not say that. Also, it feels weird to this. But it's like these guys were going into dates with you having no idea you were going through this intense thing. And I think that's just the case with everyone. It's like, you just have no idea where they're at. So anything that doesn't work, like, sure, it could be because there's no connection. That happens most of the time. Like, you don't romantically connect with hopefully more than, you know, a couple percent of people that you meet in life, because that would be overwhelming. But like, you only connect with romantically with a small percentage of people. And like, even if there is a connection, sometimes we've talked about this, like timing stuff, where you meet someone when they're in like a weird dark place, or like, I do feel like I really met Jeff at like the perfect time in my life. Like, even though I was dating someone else, like it, like it was a time, it was a time in my life that I was like feeling really good about myself and happy and like fulfilled. And like, I was going to therapy and I was really like, it was this first time in my life I felt like I had any self-confidence. So I think that like, and Jeff and I have talked about this before, like what if we had dated in college and we were both like, it would have been a disaster.
Oh yeah, total disaster.
We would have fucked it up so hard.
That's so interesting. What do you think? So you guarantee you wouldn't, that's so interesting. You probably wouldn't be together now.
I mean,
oh, like, definitely not. I guess that was a disaster. Unless we broke up and got back together.
Yeah, right. I mean, the thing is like, I think we've both grown so much since then. I mean, look, it's possible we would have, like, figured it out, but, you know, my 20s were very, like, interesting in terms of trying to figure out who I am and, like, how to, you know, be a person.
Yeah, and it's just, you know, I think
it's hard to do with when you're in a relationship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I agree. I, like, complained my whole life. I am so grateful I was single forever. Honestly, I'm not just saying that to like self-deprecate, but like, fuck, I feel like I learned a lot about myself. I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah.
I weirdly am very totally. Happy just for whatever, for me. It doesn't have to be for everyone. I envy that I haven't like had more relationship experience now trying to be in one, but like, I really feel like something, maybe it's just age, but some, I don't know. I've seen friends get out of relationships recently and they've always been in them. And I just like, I'm glad I like got to figure some shit out about myself on my own.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's easier to do when you're young, I think. Although there's like, you can do it at any time in your life. Go to therapy.
That's true.
Yeah.
This podcast sponsored by therapy. But, you know. Like.
Well, the other like, yeah. I just had a thought and it just went away.
That's
I guess
fine.
I had a couple whiskeys, but
therapy, whiskey,
therapy, podcasts, microphones.
Is that your second whiskey? Did you refill your whiskey?
I did. Oh. Your dad gave me some more bourbon.
Single, independent. That's amazing. Oh,
yeah. Oh, I remember now. So the idea was like, you know, it's really hard to change significantly in a relationship, though. I think it gets easier as you get older because you probably learn more about yourself. Mm. And so you're perhaps changing in less fundamental ways, but also I think you develop more skills at being in a relationship, and so you can manage that change more easily. So like, that's just not something that was like in my set of skills as a 21-year-old, you know, like to gracefully mature and like do that with a partner. Like, no, it was not gonna happen.
Yeah, like, I feel like it's almost like building a house. Mm-hmm. Like, without, you gotta build the foundation, and then, you know, you can't be fucking picking out curtains when there's no foundation. This metaphor doesn't make any sense.
Went off the rails, but I hear what you're saying.
You know, yeah. Like, it's like, it's... There's certain things, like I've said, and I just said, and I've said a billion times on this podcast, is that like, you really helped me like learn how to express my feelings unapologetically, or like not feel bad about them. Hmm. Like early when we were dating, I feel like I would be feeling things, and you could sense something was wrong or something was off, and you had to drag it out of me, and you had to be like, just tell me, just talk. And I would say something and you'd be like, that's it? Like, it's not a big deal. Like, mm-hmm. you made it a big mm-hmm. deal. Like, and like stuff like that. And it, like, that's the thing, is I feel like being really close to another person can really make you grow, but it's hard if you don't have like certain things, if you don't have like a lot of self-awareness and understanding about certain things. Yeah. Not that I was so self-aware and so fucking, I was not, you know, like a Zen monk coming into our relationship, but I've been in therapy for like 3 or 4 years, and I had like worked a lot on a lot of the issues I had with self-confidence and self-doubt, and like without having done that work with my therapist, I think I would have really fucked up our relationship.
100%. I mean, and this is something that my therapist told me.
Yeah, it was just fucking New York piece of shit right now.
you often get into relationships with people who happen to have like almost the mirror image of your neuroses. Mm-hmm. So there are obviously lots of things that go into like why people get into relationships, a lot of them very positive, but one thing that also tends to happen is like the person that you're with is like, so your buttons, like whatever they are, like that person's going to push them. Not even like knowing that they're pushing them, but just for whatever reason, that's how our psychology works. So it's really hard.
Yeah. The same way that you're like sexually attracted to someone who has the opposite immune system as you, because you subconsciously want to pass on.
Because you have no immune system.
Because I literally was born without one. Yeah. But like, because you want to submit? What the word is that? You want to give the best immune system possible to your like future offspring in theory. So like the people you find attractive, like their smell, like the pheromones, whatever, it's really like your immune systems.
And like Darwin.
Right? It's like you're looking for someone who has different immunities as you because you want to like combine everything into the best package.
And I like what Jeff said because it makes full circle sense to like a lot of the even not full relationships I was in, like, and the reasons I had trouble getting over them, like we talked about last week with endings, like, because it was like just confirmation bias too, because I was seeking out people who were confirming these stories I told myself, which is what we talked about with Cara Lowenthal two episodes. I don't know. It's just all making sense. Like, I like that your therapist told you that too, Jeff, and not just mine to me to make my story make more sense because,
no, I think, you know, it's a truth. Yeah.
Yeah. It feels like a truth.
Truths.
Truths, yeah.
On that note, should we get into some truths from our listeners?
Totally. Do you want to read one first? Do you want me to read one? Jeff, you want to read one? We have a couple. Oh, you know what? Let's start with this. Okay. We had someone write in. Last week we talked about endings, which the title sounded really dramatic. It wasn't a dramatic episode. We just didn't want to say breakups because it was like, sometimes in modern relationships and half relationships and situationships, it's not a breakup. It's like an ending. Mm-hmm. So, but we talked a little bit about cheating and when that contributes to endings. And we had some questions about cheating. So we put out a call to people and asked for someone who had been on both sides of cheating to write in and like explain a little bit about that situation. So we got a great email from a listener who really shared like some really great stuff. So we're going to start with that.
Yeah. Do you want me to read it?
Yeah, go for it.
You know what's interesting is I actually haven't read it yet. So this will be me reading something I haven't read yet. But I kind of like it.
Yeah, okay. Totally.
And so this listener, I almost said reader. Oh boy, it's been a day. Wrote in, so I've been on both ends of the cheating spectrum. Both stories are kind of long. Sorry. No need to apologize. When I was cheated. Sorry, that was me.
Yeah.
Editor's note.
Back to listener. When I was cheated on, it was in a long-term on-and-off relationship. The whole thing was 6 years. We had 5 starts in that time. I found out that during the third on period, he was cheating and had cheated on me in both of the previous relationships, which were long distance, like during, I think, those other on periods. He said he needed space to figure out why he was doing this when he cared about me so much. At the time, I believed him. I was so crazy in love with him, I was willing to give him whatever he needed. A few weeks later, we hung out, slept together, and decided it was time to get back together. 2 weeks after that, we were hanging out and things seemed weird, but I let it slide. We ended up having sex, and the second we were done, he said, I haven't cheated on you yet, but I think I'm going to. God.
Whoa.
I called it then and there because it was so hurtful. Good for you.
Good.
2 years passed where we didn't speak. Then we ran into each other at a party. Fucking parties. That's me. He told me he still loved me and how he realized how stupid he was. He claimed he had changed. We dated for several months without any indication that he'd gone back to his old ways. Until I ran to his roommate at a club. He, the roommate, fucking clubs, drunkenly came up to me and said, oh my God, I love you so much. You're too good for him. I can't believe he'd cheat on you. He's such an idiot. Obviously, I was concerned hearing this, but the roommate was a notorious gossip and often got his facts wrong. So instead of freaking out, I asked my boyfriend why his roommate thought he was cheating. At which point, he freaked out. He started yelling about how I don't trust him and our relationship will never work if I'm accusing him of things all the time. I reminded him that I didn't accuse him. I asked why his roommate thought that he was a cheater. He tried to cover it up by saying, I wouldn't ask that if I didn't believe it. Sorry, I think I'm losing my track. But okay, here we go. He maintains that he wasn't cheating, but I knew the girl and she confirmed it when I asked about it. She said she didn't know we were together at the time and that He said we weren't, which I fully believe. Oh, this dude.
Ew.
He was really a manipulative person and loved to have someone waiting in the wings. Looking back, I'm super grateful he couldn't trust me and ended things. So I guess he ended things. I might have like mixed that up.
There were some quotes there. He, quote unquote, couldn't trust me.
Yeah.
So I can just hear that coming out of
that was total quote. It's in quotation marks. Yep. It took me a long time to realize I wasn't responsible for his behavior. Okay. But then this gets more serious. And
time she was on the other side.
Right. So when she was on the other side of cheating, the story of me cheating happened during a dark period of my life. I was sexually assaulted when I was 20. Very sorry. About 9 months later, I started dating a close but new friend. You know those people who just instantly get you? He was the first guy I felt comfortable and safe with after that. And I mistook those platonic feelings for romantic ones, and I basically convinced him we should date. It was less than a month in, and at a party I hooked up with another guy I knew. I immediately felt horrible and told the guy I was dating. He knew what I'd been going through, so he forgave me and said we could work it through. I knew as soon as he said it that I'd done it to get out of the relationship, which I hadn't realized when I did it. So I had to confront the real reasons I cheated, and we had a long talk. Luckily, he's an amazing person who actually cared about me, and we were able to stay friends. Wow. Thanks for reading. I love the pod. Oh, that's her. Thank you. Thank you for writing and being so transparent.
Yeah, and so upfront about, like, all of the stuff you've gone through. That's all really, like, I mean, so much of that is so hard to hear, and I'm so sorry you had to have all these experiences because it's just so, sad, and I hope you're okay and doing okay with recovering from all of these, like, really tough things. But also, I just think such a good example of, like, cheating, I think, is so much about the person who cheats. You know, and like where they are at.
Yeah. And just that, like, I think we were like just talking really generally about cheating and realized we shouldn't have veered into like cheating without dedicating more like viewpoints or like time to it. But just that, like, every cheating is different. Every person is different. Every situation is different. There's no like you're a bad person if you cheat. Like cheating is not great, but you know, and another thing I think this confirms is like just being honest. I feel like 80% of the like things that we talk about in this podcast could be solved by being a little more open and honest, because it looks like she was about her cheating, whereas this other guy's cheating, he was not. And like, look at the different outcomes, you know?
Totally. That's very wise.
Yeah, it's interesting too, where she says she knew as soon as he said it, that she'd done it to get out of the relationship, which she didn't realize when she had cheated, which I thought was like, that was interesting. But
that sometimes like
you're cheating, you don't know why, basically.
Totally. Like, I think sometimes it's, like I said, like it's, there's so many factors that go into that. And again, I will refer everyone to one of my favorite podcasts, Esther Perel's podcast, How Should We Begin? Which is basically couples counseling sessions that you listen to. And a lot of them have to do with cheating. And she's like a specialist in cheating and infidelity. She wrote a book about it. Like, she talks to a lot of couples who are going through recovery after cheating. And she does talk a ton about, like, cheating is about often the person who cheats insecurities and finding them validated or like finding needs fulfilled in places that aren't your relationship. And yeah, it's a thing where, like, I think it happens because people are not in close enough touch with themselves and, like, with their, you know, partners. And But it's really complicated, and it's really easy to judge, and it's really easy to not know the whole story.
Yeah. Thanks for sharing that story again.
Thank you so much. Yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah, we'll probably do a full episode at some point about cheating. Like, maybe we'll find somebody who's an expert and like, dive into that. Jeff just pointed at his head himself.
That was a joke. That's a great joke. I'm sad it was like not
cool, homie.
I'm sad I missed it.
That was a private gesture. That was a private inside joke.
That was a really good joke.
I have never, thankfully, never been cheated on and never cheated, but that's definitely, I mean, like anybody else, it's a big fear of mine. It's
terrifying.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For everyone. I mean, I literally can't, and there's just like, I mean, I like trust you so completely, and I have no fears about this with you, but like, it is literally like the thought of being betrayed like that.
It's horrible.
Is like,
yeah.
So insane.
It's like the person you trust the most in the world saying like, oops, like
Fuck you.
Yeah.
No, I don't like it. It makes me want to break up my long distance relationship right now. I don't.
Wow. Nope. Uh-oh.
Nope. The fear of it is too much.
You know what? We're all going to have a second bourbon or a third bourbon. Our first bourbon.
Our first bourbon. And you know what? I'm going to go starting the dates again. Just kidding. This is all. No. Just kidding. I have lots of trust, too. It's just fucking scary. Like, when you think about the reality of it, it's really tough.
It's scary. I'm scared of that, and I don't have any, like, trust issues at all with, like, my, you know, I think I don't have trust issues with, like, in my past. I trust Jeff completely. It's just, it's like the scariest thing. It's the same way we're all afraid of people we love and being close to, like being injured or dying. It's just something that happens and you're scared.
Like, so the one kind of cheating experience was, so I had sort of tentatively, someone I was dating in college, and I kind of tentatively broke up, and we kind of like, we were going to think about things. And then she hooked up with somebody like that night. And that, it wasn't cheating, right? Because it was like, we had kind of broken up, but it definitely hurt. Like, it did not feel good.
It was a Ross and Rachel thing of like, we were on a break.
Yeah, were you on a break? What's tentative breaking up?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it was a break, but it was like a, it was not like a long-term break. It was like a, you know, we're going to evaluate things. We're going to come back with some, you know, new, I don't know. We're going to revisit the situation. It was very like the UN kind of thing. It was like a week, you know, there was a week break kind of thing.
Oh, you guys set a time limit of like,
I don't remember how explicit what it was, but it was like, yeah, we're going to revisit this shortly. We're going to cool off kind of thing.
And what were there parameters on? Sorry, I'm like being so technical. I'm sorry. That sounds like it sucks.
No, I mean, that's the thing is there weren't really parameters on it. Like, but it was, I guess it was kind of implied that we weren't exclusive anymore, but it was more just the fact that like, her first impulse was to go out. And in retrospect, I understood like, okay, I get why someone would do that. But at the time it was kind of pissed off.
No, I feel like actually not defining it. Like, had you both been like, we're allowed to hook up with other people explicitly, then it would be more just like still enormously painful. I mean, I've been enormously hurt when people I've liked started dating other people and we had nothing exclusive going on. Like,
yeah.
But yeah,
I mean, we're tough. Yeah.
Totally. I'll kill her. Who is she?
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
No, it's
horrible. It's like 10 years, or not 10 years ago, 8 years ago at this point. But
it stings.
Yeah.
I mean, my like big high school crush, when he started dating somebody I was friends with, I like,
where is he? I'll almost kill him.
Threw myself off a bridge. Dramatically, a very dramatic moment in my 16-year-old life or whatever.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're gonna talk more about cheating and hopefully like do an episode about it.
Yeah, aren't you guys excited? Talking about cheating, so uplifting.
Oh my god.
Who's makes your weeks better.
Okay, let's do another one.
Should we do some worst first dates?
Yes, let's do some worst first. We have some great ones backlogged. So let me see.
Oh my gosh, does Jeff have a worst first date?
Do you have a worst first date that you've been on? That's a good question.
Do you have a worst first date that I've been on? Not really. I usually dated people that I knew in my life, so it wasn't like I didn't have a lot of like first dates where I was meeting the person for the first time. I probably had, I don't know, a handful of them.
Right.
I mean, there were some that were awkward. I did like a I did a speed dating thing in Ithaca. Where you go to a bar. So one of my friends in Ithaca was like, all right, we're going to do this. And I was like, fine. So you basically sit at a table and people, it's like a kind of like revolving clock or whatever, and sort of every 5 minutes or something, someone sits. So the person you're talking to stands up and moves to the next person and so on. So you have like whatever 20 conversations, and like it was actually kind of fun. It was very strange, but it actually was kind of interesting because it's like it's kind of almost like a Rorschach test for like, is there a just a weird like connection, like because you don't
like
have
the Bachelor,
any time.
The Bachelorette.
Sure. I don't know.
You've never seen
I guess, yeah. You're just sort of like, you're talking about bullshit for like, you know, a few minutes. And then at the end of it, you have to kind of write down on a piece of paper, like who it is that you'd want to continue talking to. And then the organizers would put you in touch. So you go purely based on instinct. And so there was something cool to that, I guess.
It sounds like it solves a lot of the problems of wasting a whole night on a stranger that people complained about. Also, it sounds a little bit like our faux app where you like get a third party involved. Wait, Liza, should we host a speed dating event for our listeners?
Oh my God, can we? I was also just going to say one of the new daters, we have to send them to a speed dating thing.
Oh, big time. Talk about something I've only seen on movies or TV. Like, I didn't know this happened, but I wanted to.
So it has a very, like, kind of geeky or, like, silly kind of connotation, I think. Like, I wouldn't have done it unless, like, this friend of mine was like, we're going, and he didn't even give me a choice. But it was really fun. And because the thing is, like, even if you don't make a connection, it's a 5-minute conversation, and, like, oftentimes it's still interesting. You're still talking to somebody who you don't know, and, like, they're a person, so they have something to say, you know?
Yeah.
Wait,
did you go on any follow-up dates?
I did, yeah.
How many?
I went on one that I can remember. I think there were a couple people that I was interested in. I don't... Wow.
Oh. We'll pause for a second.
There's some thunderous dog.
Thunderous dog.
I think my brother just got here, and the dogs are like
kind of tizzy.
I like it. It makes the whole situation very, you know, real. Liza's at her parents' house, and I'm at... And Jeff, sorry. Sorry, Jeff. Just left you. And I'm in LA. I just realized we didn't say that. So.
Oh, yeah. We're sitting in the basement, like, of my parents' house. And I feel like this weird high school thing of, like, I should be, I don't know, like, giving a hand job or something.
You know, she actually is giving me a hand job. But,
yeah.
No. Wait, but now I very much have an idea that we should get together with, like, well, we've had, like, the League founder on, but, or Hinge or Bumble or someone, and set up a cool speed dating.
Yeah. And that's a great idea.
It would be sponsored by us too, and we could get people involved who like would actually not Jeff. No shade to the Ithaca speed dating. I'm sure it was very cool, but like, something to, because it honestly solves all the problems. It would be a really fun event for us. Ooh, I like it. I like it.
That would be so fun. Okay,
oh my God, I'm excited.
Listeners, tell us if you would come. I hope you would.
I'd come back to New York for
it. Facebook group and tell us.
Or if we do it in LA, you can come here and we can just write it off.
I'm going to have 51 people on each side.
Ooh.
Wow. Jeff.
Ooh.
Wow.
Ooh. I'm so excited.
Incredible idea.
Just really
getting
into the spirit of this event.
Liza and I cannot remember to just incorporate our number into everything. Terrible branding. Yeah. Terrible branding.
Oh my God. Number.
Thank you, Jeff. Thank you.
Okay. So we have, let's see. We're going to read a first date. Maybe two first dates. We'll see how it goes. And then we'll let you all go. But okay, here's a new one. Jeff, do you want to read one?
You mean we'll let Jeff go. Poor Jeff.
All right.
All right, here we go. Go ahead and start that one.
So I just discovered your podcast, and I'm only on episode 11. It made me remember the awful date that I tried to bury deep, deep down. When I was 18, there was this guy who DM'd me on Twitter asking for my number, and I was overly naive, so I went for it. Luckily, the guy was a mutual friend of one of my friends. We texted for about a week when he finally asked me out for coffee. Sounds normal, right? Wrong! All caps. He had me meet him 20 minutes away at a McDonald's at 11 p.m. Whoa, oh my God. That is pretty hardcore. So romantic. Once we were there, he just went on a talking spree and did let me get a word in. I noticed something weird about the way he talked, but wasn't sure what. He brought it up and told me he actually had a slight accent because he and his family's from Germany. Sounds believable since his name and his photos corroborate, right.
Probably.
He wants to go on a walk after a romantic McDonald's coffee over to the Lowe's parking lot into one of their display sheds. I call them mini barns, but oh well, the same thing.
Oh my God. Also,
this
like
sounds like a romantic
terrifying
menu. Yeah.
Into a mini barn.
Like, don't mind the accent and that it's 11 p.m. Come with me into this shed. Walk away.
He wanted to hook up in the shed, and I was so uncomfortable. I wanted nothing more than to make out because that's the type of teenager I was. Overall, it was just so weird and awkward. And spoiler, he ended up going to the same college as me and we shared a class.
Oh, God.
Yay, me. Also, my mutual friend told me that he actually just had a lisp and tries to tell new people that it's an accent. Oh, no.
Everything is horrible.
Fast forward to now, I've gone through plenty of horrible dates, relationships, and a failed engagement and ended up with the love of my life. Keep looking, girl.
Yay. Ooh, that's nice.
That is nice.
It's a nice
episode. Oh, yeah. She's only on episode 11. Keep looking, girl.
I was like, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Good point.
Yeah. Aw, that's great. Man. But also, like, a McDonald's at 11 p.m. has got
to
be a
weird
place.
They transition to the Lowe's, which is, you know, that classic move.
Honestly, more romantic than the McDonald's.
Sure. The mini barn at the Lowe's. Nice. Also,
hardware at Lowe's.
Jesus Christ, shut up.
I love Mini Barn. Also, it sounds like teenager high school. Like, okay, in high school, we would, like, have nowhere to go and, like, go try to make out in the weirdest places.
Yeah. Not totally
necessarily a Mini Barn at a Lowe's, more like a Mini Barn in a backyard, but,
sure.
Ours was just, like, let's drive around. Like, literally, I spent as soon as everyone got their license, our hanging out was, like, let's just drive around. And we went through a lot of McDonald's drive-thrus.
Mm.
Like, our hormones will poison the environment because we just have to keep driving around.
Yeah. Like, just driving around, listening to Sublime and smoking weed in my mom's 1991 Volvo. So, cool.
So real. Put a little DMV
just to paint
in there.
The picture. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's read one more because it's so great. And then we'll let everyone go. Okay. La, la, la. My weird date story. It's technically a second-ish date, but hopefully that's still okay. So, I met this guy at a bar and we slept together the first night. Sex was good and everything was fine and normal. We texted for a few days and then decided to meet for dinner and a movie. I was shocked, thinking this was just a one-night stand, but went for it because he seemed like a cool guy. Anyway, dinner and a movie went well, and then we went back to his place. We started hooking up, and we were both fully undressed and in his bed. He rolled over and turned the light on and said he had to tell me something. I had no idea what to expect, and needless to say, what came next was a shock. Oh my God.
I'm scared.
I know. He picked up his dick and pointed to it.
Oh, wow.
Asking me if I could see the scar. I could not. Keep in mind, we had already had sex before and everything was fine. I hadn't noticed a scar or anything else unusual. Anyway, he wouldn't take no for an answer, so made me touch his scar, sort of a mood killer, if you ask me. And then he launched into this extremely elaborate story of how he broke his penis the year earlier and had to wear a cast. Apparently, while having sex with his ex-girlfriend, his foreskin ripped off.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
He rushed to the emergency room. With the skin in his hand.
Oh, my God.
But when he got there, he was told he could either A, reattach the foreskin but never have feeling in his dick again, or B, have a circumcision as a 26-year-old man.
The latter.
Sophie's choice.
He picked the latter. Yeah. Wore a cast. Couldn't have sex for months, and his girlfriend broke up with him because of it.
Oh,
that's sad. He complained about how unfairly his girlfriend had treated him during this time. It became very apparent that he was not over his ex at all. This saga took about 10 minutes for him to explain, and all the while, I was in his bed, fully naked.
Oh my God.
He then explained, because of this, he comes quickly, so he felt he should warn me. Again, we'd already had sex before, and it was fine. He then rolled over, turned off the light, and continued to initiate sex. At that point, I had to leave. I was too weirded out and didn't know how to respond. We didn't have sex that night, and I never saw him again. Fast forward 6 months. I haven't seen Broken Penis Man since that night. I walk into a Starbucks, and there he is. He turns to me in a panic. I say I'm in a rush and have to go. He observantly points out that I have not even gotten my coffee yet. I stare down at my empty hands, stare at him, and then sprint out of the store.
Yikes.
And that is the story of Broken Penis Man and the weirdest sexual encounter of my life. Okay, happy dating. Go on a date. All that good stuff.
It's like he thought he had, like, something he really, like a micro penis or something he really needed to tell her about.
Yeah.
And, like, I get the insecurity about it, especially if his ex-girlfriend, like, broke up with him over it. Like, it makes sense that he would have some insecurity about it. But also, like, they already had sex. That's the thing. Like, I'm glad she kept restating that. Also, you're an incredible writer.
Wait, I missed. Was this the first?
No, this was the second time they had sex.
Second time they had sex.
So they had a one-night, like, a drunken one-night stand. And then
this is their second, date.
Yeah.
Okay.
But, she was like, it's fine. Like, we already had sex. Like, this is not a thing.
Yeah.
Like, if I was worried, I wouldn't
Sounds like he was, ashamed of it. It's like, dude. Like, why? I mean, your penis broke. That sucks, you know?
Well, he said he sometimes comes quickly.
No. Well, okay.
But he was also touch it.
Who doesn't?
Wasn't he touch it? Wasn't he Sorry. No, it sounded, I feel like he had one too many wine coolers or something. This seems weird if it's the second time. Again, no shade. Like, I've also heard of dicks breaking, like, just from not foreskin ripping, like, just from, like, broken someone penis. Being on top and stuff. Just
totally. Like, oh, you hit God. That wrong
oh,
apple.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
I know. Jeff, why did we read this when Jeff was on? This is quite cruel of us.
Well, you know.
You know what? Broken sex is complicated. I think the main happens. Reason she left, or I think, is just because she was like, ah, oh, dude's not over his ex. Which, like, you know what?
Yeah.
I've gotten to a point where I'm like, oop, mentioning that dude again. Oopsie.
Or do you think it's because she couldn't get the image of him holding his own foreskin in his hands at the hospital?
I mean, that really turns me on. So
that is perhaps the gnarliest thing I've ever heard.
Yes,
Charlie.
I think he's just maybe having PTSD and we'll give him a break.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, he definitely, you know what? He went through something and he gets a break. But also, like, I think you probably did the right thing by being like, cool, okay, like, maybe see you never.
Also, I would, like, run out of a Starbucks if I just, like, had ever, like, I'm so awkward with people from my past. Like, broken penis or not, like, just, I get that.
Yeah, it's deeply the worst. Should we title this episode Broken Penis?
Yeah, it'll get a lot of listens, actually.
That's a clickbaity, yeah, I like that.
What?
Yeah. Feels great for my future career.
Isn't that song from Insecure?
But that's Broken Pussy.
Broken Pussy. Broken this pussy. Is the sequel, Broken Penis.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Cool.
Bueno.
Well.
Well.
Should we wrap it up?
Totally. Into it.
Cool, smooth transition. Good job, Liza.
And so, podcast over.
Podcast over. We have to extend a huge round of applause. Thank you, Jeff.
Well, thank you.
Thanks for joining us, even though I basically was like, you're joining us.
And my
no, this is great.
This was very fun. My pleas seem to have worked because I see some new reviews on iTunes. So thank you very much, listeners. Rate, subscribe, review if you can. It helps us a ton. And we like being in charts. So if you do that, we might be in them again.
And then we might be able to, like, throw a speed dating event.
Yeah, that's true. Oh, yeah. No, but thank you so much for all the things. We had really, really good listens last week, and it was just Liza and I, which was pretty cool for us.
Yeah, usually it was awesome.
It takes a good guest to get that many listens. So thank you very, very much. We love you so much. And keep sending in those worst – they don't have to be first. Weird dates, good dates, bad dates, any dates to 51 broken penis dates, 51firstdatespod@gmail.com. Yeah, send in your weird sex things, even if they weren't, you know, on a first date. That's totally cool.
Oh, my God, yeah. Send us your, like, weirdest sex stories.
I don't know.
I mean, whatever, you know.
And that should be the new story. That should be the new first thing we ask guests when they come on. It's like, instead of what's your worst first date, be like, what's your worst weird sex story? No, JK.
Don't worry.
But you can also follow us on Insta at 51firstdatespod.
Yeah. And
join the secret Facebook group.
Yep. And post in it and comment on people's things and be super cool. And I don't know. What else, Liza? Is that it?
I think that's it.
Okay.
And yeah.
Well, follow Jeff on Instagram at, just kidding. Don't worry. I won't do that to you. But
JK, JK, JK. That's
Jeff,
a joke it's
Jeff sees for the win. Jeff sees for the win. I miss you both dearly, Liza and Jeff, since I'm in LA.
Miss you too.
We miss
I miss LA Jeff and LA Liza when we had that crazy night in Venice. That was fun.
Come
back. We'll be back.
We'll for sure be back.
Yeah. I mean,
why am I not better?
I guess that the listeners don't need to hear all of this. But
so basically, what I'm saying is,
So like,
and yeah, totally.
Yeah. As always, shall we
also,
sign off?
Yes. We always sign off by saying, go on a date.
Go on a date.
Go on a date.
All right. Bye. Love you guys. Bye.
Big shout out to Anthony from 5ohm for making us sound really good in post. And you should check 5ohm out online at 5ohm.com.
And that's spelled FIVEOHM.
Ohm.